Take your Bibles, go to James chapter 4. You can put your songbooks up there. James chapter 4. We'll read verses 13 through 17. I'll read verse 13. You read verse 14 with me. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse number 13. James 4, 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's perfect and it's pure and it's preserved and we can build our lives on it. Please help me tell the truth in the way that you would have it told. Strengthen, Lord, help us, please, this morning. Lord, you're willing to do that for us. May we be willing to have it done. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your Bibles open to James chapter 4. People make the statement, time goes by so quickly, or what? Time flies. And I like the statement, since time flies, you better make sure God's the pilot. Amen. The older you are, the faster it passes. When you're just a kid, it seems like every day just drags on, but just hang on. The older you get, it seems like just yesterday. I was just a kid. Time flies. We're 20 years right now removed from recovering from Y2K. Remember that fiasco. We're almost 9 years removed from when the heathen Mayan calendar said the earth was going to be destroyed in 2012. All everybody was in an uproar over that. James chapter 4, look at verse 14, says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. God is not saying in this passage to not prepare for the future. Okay? God is not saying that. God says, don't plan for the future as if it's guaranteed because you don't know what's going to be on the morrow. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 12. We'll come back to James chapter 4. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and look at verse 15. Luke 12 and 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I personally want to eat, drink, and be Joseph. I do not want to eat, drink, and be... Are y'all awake this morning? Okay, that was a test. All right, here we go. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Watch. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, if you go back to James chapter 4, I wanted to reference that passage as a similar passage. Go back to James chapter 4 and then listen carefully. God says that a fool plans for the future without considering God in those plans. Right? I'm thankful for all our church has going on. I'm thankful for our church services. I'm thankful for tomorrow's picnic, Memorial Day. I'm thankful for our soul winning and activities, our calendars planned out for the year, special speakers and days. We do our best with the budget that we have. God tells us to plan and schedule, right? So just because I don't know what's on the morrow, God does say to every time there is a season. Ecclesiastes 3, Proverbs 6, 6 through 8, Proverbs 24, Proverbs 30. And I just want you to think, we're supposed to prepare, but tomorrow is not guaranteed to anybody. God tells us what to say in reference to tomorrow. Look at verse 15. Ready? James 4, 15. For that you ought to say, in other words, the way you ought to be talking is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will or the Lord's willing. In other words, with the help of God and with the strength of God, I'm going to do thus and so. We've sung God's praises this morning. We've prayed many times for those that are sick and hurting. We've left here and went soul winning Saturday after Saturday after Saturday. We've wept with people and mourned over the loss of those the Lord has taken home. God didn't show us all that we would go through this year so we wouldn't get discouraged and quit. Last year, 2020, who would have thought 2020 was like it is? Nobody knew that was coming. Nobody saw it coming. Aren't you glad you didn't see it coming? Aren't you glad in 2019 you didn't know what was going to happen in 2020? That way you could trust the Lord as it happened, right? God won't show us everything that we're going to go through next year because He wants us to trust Him. God wants us to trust Him day by day. He's the only one who knows what tomorrow holds because He's the only one who holds tomorrow. Deuteronomy 33:25, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's easy preaching, hard living, right? But we're supposed to walk by faith. Our faith is in the Lord. God doesn't tell us what's going to be on the morrow, but He does say, lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world, right? In Hebrews chapter 13, God says, I'm not going to tell you what's tomorrow. I'll just tell you I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you through whatever we face tomorrow, right? Take your Bible. We'll come back here. Can you keep your finger at James chapter 4? I just wanted to show you Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. And Psalm 90 and 91 are, you know, they say it was God used Moses to pen them. It's. I think some verses should be set. But I'm going to show you verse 12. But look at verse 8. Psalm 90, verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Psalm 90, verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and then we spend our years as a tale that is told. God already knows how our lives are going to end. God already knows when I'm going to die. Right? Doesn't it say over and over again in the Bible, when you live righteously, God extends and lengthens your days, and when you live sinfully, God shortens your days? So God already has a day. It's already appointed. It's appointed unto men once to die. God already has my death day assigned. It's already assigned for you. As I live righteously, it's extended, and as I sin, it's shortened. Right? Look at, now, we live our lives as a tale that is told. Look at verse number 10. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. In other words, it's wonderful. We have people in our church that are over 80. It's a blessing. If it's past 70, they're going, wow, that's wonderful, right? It's of the Lord. The average lifespan of American is 78 years old because of technology, right? I think that's what's, if you look it up on the internet. But keep on going. Look at verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 12 is what I brought you here to show you. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Memorial Day teaches me that there are people, I'm supposed to remember people who gave their life so I can enjoy church this morning without any threat of the police breaking through or soldiers coming through. I enjoy freedom this morning. And I'm supposed to be mindful of those who've died. That brings me to my thought, they died. All of us are going to one day die. Nobody lives forever. I should be thankful. Okay, the young men that went to war, most of them died in their 20s. There are a few that died in their 30s, but most of them died in their 20s. Take the D-Day invasion, take any of it, take Iwo Jima, take all of it. Those were all young men that gave their lives in their 20s. They had probably what? According to what we just read, lived a third of their life. Yet they gave it for me. God says here, Memorial Day got me thinking, teach me to number my days for one purpose so I can apply my heart to God's wisdom. See, when you think you're going to live forever, you're careless, right? If you don't do it today, you can do it tomorrow, you can do it next week. But if you were told you were going to pass next week, are there things you would try to get done before your time was over? You'd be a little more focused, a little more intense over life, right? It wouldn't be so casual. I dare say if somebody said you're going to pass next week, I dare say you probably wouldn't waste your time watching TV, right? There's some things you would not do. So God says here, teach me to, in the thought of Memorial Day, Lord, there's people who've died. I don't know that I have tomorrow. Hope I do. But Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to live wisely. Here we go. A Christian lives knowing they're going to die and that God's going to reward them in heaven for what they do here on earth. We don't live in fear of death. I'm not looking forward to death, but I don't fear it, right? Because I know I'm saved, right? That's what's so sad about this COVID thing. People are living in fear. Fear is controlling everyone. Well, what happens if you die? You've heard me say that before. I hope you don't, but you're going to. Amen? It is non-reality to not think so. So God, teach me to live with eternity in view, and I'm coming to a day when I'm going to die. So how about this? So I can apply my heart to wisdom. What's that mean? What do you want the preacher to say about you at your funeral? Then live that way. I've been at funerals where I had to really pad it. I don't lie at funerals. They're lost. I don't say, well, he's in heaven now. I don't do that junk. But I'll say, hey, you could go to heaven if you place your faith in Christ. But they were a stinker and everybody knew it in the community. They hung around the wrong crowd. They did the wrong thing. So I know how to handle a service where the person is lost and in hell, right? At the time of their funeral. But let's talk to the saved because that's who God writes us to. God says, teach me to number my days. Because I'm going to die someday, and help me, Lord, apply my heart to wisdom. I like thinking, and I know you can't live this way all the time, but what I just told you, if you thought you were going to die in a couple of weeks, are there some people you'd witness to before you left this earth and went to be with the Lord? Don't keep putting it off. Wisdom says, I may not have tomorrow. There's some things I hope. Are there some things God wants you to do? And that's what I'm going to get into in the sermon this morning. But teach me, dear God, to number my days. I use this verse every time I have a birthday. I was 55 last year. I'll be 56 this year, December 14th. Write that down. No, I'm just kidding. You got to say that. I was 55 last year. I'll be 56 this year. Every time I come to my birthday, I get up in the morning. My wife goes, happy birthday, honey. And this year, I'll say, I'm 56, 14 years left to live for the Lord. She goes, oh, don't say that. She says that every year. I say, we get 70, right?
70. If I'm 56, I got 14 years left. Unless God gives me more time. Right? Aren't we supposed to be thinking that way? Don't forget. That's why, okay, let's go back to the Bible study here. Go back to James chapter 4. I wanted you to think about that. I know with Memorial Day. James chapter 4. I have hopes for our church. I love seeing people come to know Jesus as their Savior. I think there's no greater joy than watching the Lord work in a Christian's life and grow them spiritually. It means so much to see God use the people in our church to reach other people with the gospel. To see the Lord work and answer prayer is beautiful for situation. And I hope to see people saved. But none of that may happen, or all of that may happen, and I may or may not be here for it. Because that's what James 4 says, right? I don't know what's going to be on the morrow. And look at verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. So God says, consider the fact that the best laid plans depend on Him. Plans that are righteous and good, where there's nothing sinful or selfish, depend on God enabling us to breathe and walk and work. Everybody needs hopes of serving God and being used of the Lord, knowing that they're going to need God. Just because we have hopes and dreams, we shouldn't take one step without the Lord's leadership and His blessing. Did you know last year in St. Mary's County, there were people that died in vehicle accidents? When they got in their car, they really thought they were going to get out of their car. Right? It was just... And there's no accident that anybody's ever planned. Right? And all of them aren't fatal, and I understand that. But there were people that were killed last year, and when they started the vehicle, they really thought they would be shutting it off and getting out, just like they got in, and they didn't. I think you should live by schedule. You should plan and budget your finances so you can take care of the responsibility of the obligations you have. But after you've planned and scheduled and budgeted, you should still hit your knees and say, God, help me to be employed, help me to be able, and Lord, help me to do the right thing and provide for my family. This coronavirus thing has got everybody living in fear, and I love this little reading here. This was written in the late 1940s when the atomic bomb and people were building shelters and stuff like that all over America. If you replaced the word atomic bomb with coronavirus, okay? I'm going to read this. Just replace atomic bomb with coronavirus. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. How are we to live in an atomic age? I'm tempted to reply, well, just like you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited Europe almost every year. Or you're supposed to live just like you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night. Or indeed, as you're already living in an age of cancer and syphilis and paralysis and an age of air raids and an age of railway accidents and an age of motor accidents. I'm not minimizing our present situation, believe me. You and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb. Good statement. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways anyways. That's a reality. You know, Brother Wilkins has said, you know, Pastor, don't we all pray we have a peaceful passing? Pastor Stephen Ray Nichols texted me 3 months ago and he said, Pastor Nash, my dad got in his jammies. He showered. He got in his jammies. He laid down in bed. And he went to be with the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. What a peaceful passing. Don't we all hope we go that way? You know what I mean? I mean, in that transition to heaven, wouldn't that be nice? I'm not looking forward if it's a car accident. And I've seen people pass in painful ways, painful cancers, painful. But don't we all, just the statement. Listen, here we go. The only thing we have that our ancestors didn't is high-powered narcotics and anesthetics. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of a painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances and in which death itself was not a chance at all but a certainty. Our first need is to use the sound mind that God gave us. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, if we're all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb find us doing sensible and human things. Let that bomb find us praying and working and teaching and reading and rearing our children and giving the gospel and loving the family of God, not huddled together like frightened sheep thinking about bombs. Look, this coronavirus thing, you've heard me say this before. We found out that yes, it's a real virus. It's manufactured. They did make it in Wuhan. We paid for it. They made it. They let it go. There's other viruses coming. When this is done, there'll be another one. I don't want there to be. It's just the way the world is. You understand? It's the way wicked people work. If I found out there was a virus that was going to kill us all, I'd still rather come to church where I could be with God's people. I like what the article said. Rather than huddled, put plastic on the windows. Duct tape that. Who wants to go to the hospital now? Isn't it sad, Brother Manny's up there? His wife can't even be with him. Isn't that sad? I wanted to ask the doctors, that's really best for the patient, huh?
Well, that's good.
That's not best for the patient. If somebody told me you're dying with cancer, I wouldn't go to the hospital. I'd rather be with my wife. Amen? I don't want to be isolated from everybody.
Hey, well, 10-4, good buddy. See y'all tomorrow.
Or a stupid phone or radio. Isn't this kooky times? I like what it said. Let the virus or the bomb find me doing living for God. Amen? Not huddled and fearful. They may break our bodies because a microbe can do that, but they don't need to dominate our minds. We should plan on raising our children for the Lord. We should plan on praying and walking with the Lord. And we should plan on asking God, please help me. And Lord, I'll love you more and more when that little girl is 15 than I did when she was 5. Lord, please help me raise my boy for you, and I'll work hard at being more dedicated to you when he's 16 than I did when he was 6. When you set out on the right path with the right intent, you should say, Lord willing, this is what I want to happen. Look at verse 13. Ready? You're in James chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year. A year, and buy and sell and get gain. We don't know how today's going to end, let alone, so you're going to do that for a whole year, huh? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I think I'm going to get up. I think I'm going to a picnic tomorrow. And I hope I do. But Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow at the picnic. But I don't have a guarantee that I'm going to get up. My best buddy that was in my wedding, when my wife and I got married, he passed away at 53 with a heart attack, dropped dead in his house, skinny as a rail. One of my best friends died 2 years ago. I thought, man, if he could die at 53, I mean, that was a real reality check for me. I'm not Superman. That really got me thinking. I really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'd like to think I do, but nobody does except the Lord. It's a good Christian way to think. Okay, remember? Look at verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So, when you think of the details of our life, job, our financial status, our location, our experiences. God asks the question, what is your life? And God says, it is a vapor. This, I don't know if you can see it, is a vapor. It's water coming out of there. Can't touch it. That's my life. That's what God says my life is. It's just a It's there, and then it's not. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's what God teaches us in His Word. Your life, my life, is a vapor. It's a vapor. It's here, it's gone, it appears, it vanishes. You see it, you don't see it. My life is not permanent. My life cannot be grasped. It cannot be held on to. Okay? When you look at pictures of the past, think about this. When you look at people who are now in heaven, when you look at people who served the Lord, who are serving the Lord, who got saved, who got backslid, people who used to be in church, who aren't. There was a church that I gave my life to. I gave 8 years of my life to, built it and helped it and learned a lot about construction. It no longer exists. It's not there anymore. Went in debt and city came, took it. I got pictures of my boys when they were little, when we were laying concrete for it, and I was helping bring the concrete block up for the foundation. Samuel's there. He's just this big. And Abby wasn't there. She wasn't with me on the construction sites. It doesn't exist anymore. It's not there. I don't have last year. I think what this is saying is I have today, and it's a privilege to be alive and serve the Lord today. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad God got me up this morning. I'm glad I'm in church. I'm glad I'm living for the Lord. Amen? I'm supposed to rejoice in that. God doesn't say don't plan. Our young people should plan on going to college and getting married. But the boys need to learn how to work hard and manage money and live holy so they can lead and set the example in the home. You have today to live for the Lord, and you have to do things God's way and to do what you were saved to do. When you get up each morning, you should say, today I want God's will for my life. What is God's will? The cause of Christ. Okay? All you have any say over is what does God want me to do today? Amen? I hope you get to meet the man or woman God has for you. I hope you get to retire. I hope you get to stay in good health and get out and to put away money in the bank. I hope you get to exercise, and I hope all that eating right pays off. But all I know is that you have today to do God's will and live for the Lord, and it's all you have. You should lay out the course of your life and plan to do what God wants you to do. But you should be saying, Lord willing, I'm going to do today what God wants me to do. And your reliance, okay, any reliance on yourself would be foolish. Listen closely. If the plans for your life don't include God, if the plans for your marriage don't include God, if the plans for your job don't include God, if the plans for your college don't include God, if the plans for your family don't include God, if the plans for your retirement doesn't include God, if your plans for death don't include God, then you're a fool. That's Bible, right? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who's going to have everything that you have? Thou fool. God calls him a fool. This world is full of fools. I talked to one person. They said, man, can't wait to retire. And, you know, they were working at GM. They said, moment I retire, we've got our RV ready, and we're just going to take off, and we're going to start going across America, and that's how we're going to live. I just threw out the question, where are you going to go to church? Their plans for retirement didn't include God. It was all about them. They said, well, we'll find one somewhere. I said, hope you do. I didn't say you shouldn't be doing that. It's America. America. You get to do whatever you want, right? It's America. Right? And most people do whatever they want to do. But I think your plans for life should include God. Our life is a vapor. It's been 6,000 years since God said, let there be light. That's going back into the past. God describes the future as the ages to come in Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That means We've lived here on this earth. Man has been here for 6,000 years, but there's thousands of years coming where God is going to show His love to us. Ephesians chapter 2. Try to wrap your head around that and you can't. Then think of the 70 years we have to live here on this earth, and our life is a vapor. It's a little time. When you look at a picture of someone you haven't seen for 30 years, you always say, wow, they're old. But did you know they're saying the same thing about your picture? Wow, did they get old? Brother Grady, when he walked in after, you know, I hadn't seen him for, I think, 20-some-odd years, 25 years after being at college, when he walked in here for the first time a couple years ago, he goes, wow, you haven't changed a bit, except the gray hair. I said, well, praise the Lord, I'm glad that's all that's changed. Here, watch this, James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then, watch, vanisheth away. Your life goes full circle. As a baby, you ride in a chair with wheels. You don't have any teeth, you eat applesauce, and you don't have any hair. You know where this is going, right? And when you get older, your kids push you around in a chair with wheels, you don't have any teeth, you eat applesauce, and you don't have any hair. It goes full circle. Because this is true, we should say, if the Lord wills. Verse 15 says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Whatever you're planning, don't leave God out of it. Memorial Day should include God. Any holiday, July 4th, should include God. Your day should include God. When it comes to your giving, don't leave God out of it. We've got to buy cat food, and we've got to buy dog food, and we've got to buy cable and internet, and we've got to buy phone service. But we don't have to help the missionaries that are scared to death right now, that they're over in a foreign country and have to live on a visa, and we don't care about their finances. We'll spend more on animal food than we will supporting a missionary overseas. Put God first, instead of putting Visa and MasterCard first. God's will should be important in every area of our life as His child. And if you have a schedule, God should be in it. James 4:16, but now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. When somebody says, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get this, we rejoice in what we want to do, and God calls that boasting. And if I brag on what I did, I should be praising God and saying, look what God did, but I can't because I did it without God. When your plans center around you, and your chief advisor is you, it's evil because there's no influence for the Lord in your life. The last verse, verse 17, is so practical, and we covered a little bit in Sunday school. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Because of what was just taught, because the only thing that you know you have is today, your life is a vapor, so you should do something good today. When you see how uncertain and how unguaranteed you are of tomorrow, then do something good today for the Lord. If you see that God's in control and you're not, then do something God wants you to do today. One more time. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to that person, to him, it's sin. Start living for Jesus today. Start serving the Lord today. When people say, you know, one of these days I'm going to put God first, how about today? To him that keeps putting it off and putting it off and waiting. And personally, I hope the best for you. I want the best for you. But you don't know what tomorrow holds. Is there anything that God's told you to do that you're still putting it off? You know, you're going to do it later. If you won't do it now in a room full of people to encourage you, if you won't do it when God has been so good to you now, you're not going to do it later. You're going to keep putting it off. When you ask a lost person, if I can show you from the Bible how to know for sure you're on your way to heaven, just by what the Bible says, what do they always say? Well, I haven't murdered anybody. Well, I haven't done drugs. And well, I haven't done this. But it's funny, when you ask a saved person, don't you think you need to dedicate your life to the Lord since He saved you and since you should start serving the Lord? They start saying the same thing. Well, I haven't killed anybody. Well, I haven't robbed a bank. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, that person, it's sin. The verse isn't talking about what you haven't done. The verse is talking about what you should be doing, but you're not. That is sin. The average reader can read 15 minutes a day and read the Bible through in a year. That's all it takes to read the Bible through in a year. There's no reason that a rational person couldn't read God's Word from cover to cover in a year. Oh, I could never do that. But they can read Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, social media, movies, video games, and get for hours a time. It's not a sin for me to not meet your expectations. And it's not a sin for you to not meet my expectations. But it is a sin to not do what God wants you to do. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I've had things in my life before I got saved, near-death experiences that God used to snap me out of it. Well, now that I'm saved, I would like to think God could get my attention by speaking to my heart. So when are you going to serve the Lord? Is it going to be after the heart attack? I don't want you to have a heart attack. When are you going to serve God? How long are you going to keep putting it off? I don't want God to have to get my attention by a disaster every time. I want, because I'm a jerk, okay? I'm a self-centered, selfish jerk. But I want God to be able to say, can you hear me? Do what I tell you. I don't want God to have to bring a disaster to my life to get my attention. Okay, God, what do you want? Some people are like that, and I understand. But Christian, you have today. You have today. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Then do what God wants you to do today and enjoy it. It's the way to happiness and peace. What is your life? It is even a vapor. I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth as we go into Memorial Day and we're reminded for those that have passed, for our freedoms.